All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And if you've ever wondered what it takes to double your money in real estate within a week or turn 250K property into a 550K property in just 3 months, my guest today, Jordan Capriel, has done both. Here's the kicker. Despite achieving financial freedom, he's facing a new challenge, finding purpose in life. Jordan, welcome to the show. Excited to dive into your journey.
Thanks, Bryce.
So yeah, let's talk about the beginning here. I'm interested to tell us the story. How'd you double your money in a week?
I came across a deal.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small single family house in Arnprior, which is west of Ottawa, 45 minutes west of Ottawa. It was $350,000 for the mm-hmm. house. I bought it privately and a week later sold it privately. And I just happened to get a really good deal on the private sale. The people just wanted to get out. They wanted no hassle with people coming through their home.
Yeah.
I've really bought most of my deals private because owners just don't want to deal with, honestly, realtors or the hassle of the closing process.
Mm-hmm.
So I just made it super simple for them. I used private money to buy the deal. So I only needed to put in 30%, which was like 100 and
mm-hmm.
110. And and then a week later sold it for 460. So I sold it for 110 more and literally did nothing.
Yeah.
So that was like 2 years ago.
Nice.
I feel like those deals come up all the time.
Yeah.
Kind of a Goldilocks deal. Like I'm very lucky that it fell.
Well, you got it, right? They come up all the time, but once in a while, we're the ones that get to
sometimes you get lucky.
The cash. Well, you get, I don't think it's luck. It's like you had to do something to get something. So you, my brother was playing online a casino yesterday and I'm like, good job. He's like, well, no, it was luck. I just put it down. I'm like, yeah,
I'm
but
here
you
every
had to,
day at the casino.
Yeah, you had to have actually like played to win, right? So,
yeah.
You know, luck, I'm sure plays a factor in it, but if you're not buying a ticket, you can't win the lottery. So I'm a big believer in that you did take action to actually make that happen. So let's talk about how you got started. You know, how'd you get started in real estate?
I mean, honestly, I don't think there's like a trigger that got me started in real estate specifically, but I think growing up without like a ton of money in our family, maybe that was like a motivating factor to get into like wanting more than that. So I was always attracted to like business movies, books and audiobooks. At the time, there were no podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like absorbed everything I could. And I think I just found that rich people seem to always be somehow associated with real estate. So I just ended up following that path. I found like the obvious books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
And that was hugely motivating. And I think I was just a dumb enough kid to just like take the advice at face value and just run with it full speed. And that's what I did. I bought my first house and it was a terrible deal. I learned a ton. But it got me kind of like into the game at least. And that was like 12 years ago.
How old were you when you jumped in?
It was in 2012. So I was like 21.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes having too much education or too many preconceived notions can actually hold you back from pulling the trigger because there's that analysis paralysis. You read too much, you think too much, you never end up doing something. You just have to actually, like you said, get in the game. So since then, what have you been doing since you got into the business?
I mean, a lot. It's kind of like before the show, we were talking about what you were doing.
Mm.
You have all kinds of cool little like side hustles going on. And
yeah, I'm
life.
A little crazy like that. I
you also
I
have
can't
real
sit
estate
still,
background.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah. I
yeah.
feel like that's a trait that's common in real estate because real estate is like something you can build and put on the back burner. So I did a lot. I've done a lot in the last 12 years and just had real estate kind of on the back burner. And really only the last, like, I think it's been like 5 years that I went in full time. But before that, I was a carpenter. I had a vending machine company. I went to college. I had all kinds of random jobs in between that. I was a tree planter in BC. Like I was all over the place. I traveled. All the while, I had real estate kind of in the background. And then as I got, basically after 25, I was supposed to retire at 25. That was my original goal when I was like 16. I'm going to retire when I'm 25. I got to 25 and I was like nowhere near retirement.
Yeah.
So I like it like hit me in the face that I need to start changing my ways. So I started to take it more serious, saving more money, got more disciplined, and yeah, like the last 5, 6 years I've been doing it full time. So yeah, it
Nice.
ended up working out in the end. It just kind of took a different path than I expected.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing I love about real estate is it's I used to say do real estate design your life because it can be as full-time as you want it to be or it can be as passive as you lending 50 grand to your friend who wants to go crazy and flip a house. So there's lots of ways to get involved and they don't have to all be full-time, so you can always pick your poison in that regard. So what would you say is your biggest obstacle that you've had to overcome in let's say the last 5 years as you've gone full-time?
I think that a lot of investors have the same problem. It's like when you go full time, can my business support my business? Like, can the income from my business continue to get mortgages to continue growing the business, right? Like, you need to have like all of the necessary paperwork in place to be able to do that, like the 2 years experience, the whatever, like everything needs to be set up already. So taking that leap, the biggest challenge was going from a job that has a salary that was getting me all my mortgages to just a business kind of being self-sustaining on its own. Once now it's much easier because the business has been going for long enough that the banks are like happy to keep going. But at the beginning, it's like building the trust in just the business, not the business tied to my job.
Yeah, it's like a brand new baby. It's like, who are you?
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
you're gonna have to season those bank accounts before we're gonna give you anything. So, with that kind of business seasoning, what would you say to someone who's moving in that direction? What would be your pro tip for someone who's thinking about dropping the job and, going full time?
I've actually had friends ask me this because I think that I got an early jump at it, and now my friends, like I'm 33, so some of my friends are starting to reach out to find out how I've done it. And really, the only thing you can do is to kind of take the leap. That's in my eyes. Like, it's never going to be easy to leave the comfort of a job. You just kind of have to take the leap and, like yourself, like kind of be okay living an unconventional life. And the beginning is going to be tough, so you just got to get used to the discomfort for a little bit. It does get easier.
Yeah, definitely like there's I'll ask you the question. Do you ever 'cause sometimes I'll get into a real estate or real estate will be up and down or whatever. I'm dealing with something and I'm thinking to myself, it's days like today. I wish I had just a regular job like everybody else. And at 5 o'clock, I could just stop thinking about it and go home and put on Call of Duty or whatever and just forget about my day. But really, as a as an entrepreneur, especially in real estate, you're not really afforded that. Or is there ever a moment where you say, oh, I wish I would have just, or a day where you're just, oh, I wish I had a job still?
If you asked me that like 4 years ago when I was still struggling to like get mortgages and kind of fighting to prove that I knew what I was doing, I would have said yes. But at this point, never. I would never go back to a job. I'm too used to having control of my schedule, of what I'm doing with my day and what purpose I'm serving. So to go back to a job and like serve someone else's purpose, I mean, it'd be pretty tough. That'd be a tough one to swallow.
Well, and I think one of the most challenging things too as a real estate investor is when you go full time, and maybe you could give people some tips on how you manage that. But when you go full time, there is no one to tell you what to do. And
Yeah.
so if you wake up and you don't like task yourself, you may end up doing nothing. So what are some things that you do to kind of stay on track?
Well, the first 6 months to a year, every day I'd wake up and I'd literally be like, "What does a real estate investor do every day?" And I'd make a list of things that I need to do, and then I would do that. So like that involved mostly marketing. Like as you know, real estate is nothing without the deals. So I was literally like knocking on doors, handing out letters to sellers. Like that's what I did every day because I literally didn't know what else to do. I just
Deal first. Yeah, I like that.
deal first. And once I had deals, and the responsibility grew, then I had things to do naturally.
So you'd wake up in the morning to make a list or think about things to do and then just go and do them.
I mean, the list was pretty short. It's
It was
pretty much
like, get
find a
deals,
deal.
get a deal, find a deal. And you
Yeah,
know
find a
what's
deal.
crazy is like sometimes people they'll do a bunch of other stuff that doesn't actually lead to
Busy work.
deals. Yeah,
Yeah.
instead of actually like
Like play business, like get business cards and
oh yeah,
create
get
the brand.
business cards and set up your website and I don't know, register for the Better Business
Yeah.
thing. Like none of these actually get you deals, so
Well, actually, before this podcast, you asked me if I had a website, and I don't. I have a domain name. And every time between deals, when things get quiet, when I'm like searching for the next deal, I think about, well, I should build a brand and have a website and get business cards. But before I can finish the website, I find another deal.
Yeah, and
So
you're
like
on to the
over the
next thing.
years, I'm just obviously it doesn't matter that much. Like I'm able to keep myself busy and do well in life without needing a website and branding and
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, the flip side of that coin is imagine if you had one, what could be? Because it's like an unchecked box, right? Imagine you had a website. What could happen if you had that stuff? You never know.
You never know, but you can never know
But
everything, Tony.
you can never know everything.
No,
So
you can always do more.
yeah, that's the thing, right? When do you stop? So let's talk about what Robert Kiyosaki calls the unfair advantage. You know, what comes easy to you that other people might find difficult to do?
Without sounding like cliche, it's mostly just taking action. Like I just like shamelessly move forward. Like when
Yeah.
I had nothing to do in the first 6 to 12 months of knocking doors, I literally just knocked on doors for 12 hours a day until I found a deal. And I think, like you said, a lot of people would like hit a few doors and then realize like this is not fun. That person yelled at me, and then they'd go build a website.
Go build a
They'd
website.
like get to the deal, but like in a really roundabout way that costs more money and takes longer. And it's
Yeah.
easier just to like take the problem and hit it face on.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's your unfair advantage. You're not afraid to like go head on against it because that is true. Like you build the website and you know, you pay per click and it comes all the way around. And that same person that maybe you're like 3 or 4 doors away.
Yeah,
A month or
exactly.
two later, finally, like calls you, and you know it cost you $2,000 in marketing to actually get it. So
It
I like that, you
definitely
know,
depends
knocking
what
the
you're doing.
doors.
Like, if your vision
Well,
is like a huge self-sustaining model that like feeds deals in, it makes sense that you're going to build this like pipeline. But for me, my purpose is never to build it to be, sorry, my purpose has never been to build this gigantic business. It's always been a lifestyle business. That's always what my purpose was. So for me, it was just like get the deal, find the next deal, keep the deals rolling in that way. And that was enough for me.
Well, that's the other thing too, is like you'll never be happy until you're satisfied with like what it is that you have. You know, sometimes people get into this business and I'll ask them questions like, you know, once you hit that goal of whatever, what would you do then? And they always kind of tell me, oh, I would just do more. And it's just like, to what end?
Yeah,
To what
exactly.
end do you want to do that? And you know, maybe they'll find it, maybe they won't, and they'll never be satisfied. So you know, with all you've accomplished so far in real estate, what would you say your biggest obstacle is these days?
My biggest obstacle is exactly what you just said. Like, I set a goal to retire early. When I was 30, I retired, technically retired. I was making enough to live off of from the rentals, and I took time off to like retire what I thought was retirement, and I like fell pretty hard. Yeah, so it just wasn't what I expected, and then I just returned to work because it was what was comfortable. So I found another deal and kept going. And I think what has always been difficult is like, what do you do after? Like once you hit your number, once you achieve your goal, then what? People like us, like real estate investors who are A type or at least ambitious enough to get into it, we don't know anything else but to keep striving. And what do you do when you don't want to keep striving, but you don't know anything else? So right now, my biggest challenge is finding other things in life that I've been kind of deferring gratification on, like family and hobbies and things that I've let atrophy, to kind of replace working all the time. Because working now is just kind of adding to a pile of money that I may never use. Like It's really just a game at this point that I'm trapped in. So I'm
Yeah,
trying to find a way
it can
to
become your
repair.
identity and to some degree where it's like, who am I? Well, I'm that real estate guy.
What if I'm not
So,
doing real estate?
yeah, then what? Who am I? And then you just have an existential crisis. Well, it says, you know, I was watching this this interview the other day, and they were talking about the A-type personality and that ability, like there's like a letdown when you hit your particular goal, right? And so they were talking about the fact that the people who are, you know, most happy are actually the ones that have conditioned themselves to be happy with the journey and not the destination. So like they don't celebrate, you know, it's like an NFL player will get to the end zone and they're not like a big celebration. They just put the ball down and they go back it. It's the journey to get that touchdown that actually gets them, keeps them going rather than celebrating in the end zone, which then leaves you feeling empty. That dopamine at the end of the game actually has a valley, whereas people who enjoy the process, enjoy the like day-to-day of, you know, waking up and working out and going to the field and catching balls for 2 hours. And then finally the game goes and yeah, of course I got a touchdown. I went to the gym every day and I went and I caught, you know, and so, you know, there can be a little bit of, you know, you can definitely get suckered into like, finish the flip, got the payout, go and celebrate, go to Disney World, you know, all these things. But you got to be careful about that framework that you set up. Otherwise, you're going to end up in some weird dopamine paradox. So, with all the capital and wins that you've been able to put together, what are you doing to fund your deals these days?
Right now, I fund myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I use, sorry, I fund myself. No, I don't fund myself. I use private money, kind of the traditional route. I don't know why I still fund myself. I fund with private money and I refi with A lenders, pretty typical, or I'm selling. So,
Yeah. So you have a mixed portfolio then of rentals to active flipping
I
business.
do like kind of everything. I have a little pile of rentals. I'm doing a house flip and I'm doing a land deal right now. And like I'm kind of always doing different things. I'm not like I only do buy and holds or I only do flips. The only thing I really haven't gotten into is like true commercial. That's really the only avenue that I haven't really explored yet, but otherwise I'm kind of doing everything.
There's still time. You're
Oh
gainfully
yeah.
unemployed now, so
Ha.
you can figure out,
All the
you know,
time in the
what that
world.
is. Yeah, so as far as, you know, finding deals, you know, with all that's going on with the market conditions and things like that, are you finding it more challenging? Are you finding it less challenging to find what you're looking for out there?
No, I feel like it's always the same. It's like what you just said with that football analogy. If you're always putting the work in, and you find a good deal, people go, "How'd you find the good deal?" Well, I knocked on every door, so eventually the deal just fell on my lap. Like, it's almost like a mindset at this point. It's like, if I knock on enough doors, I deserve to find a deal. Like, I just know that if I'm knocking on doors, eventually something's going to happen, or I'm handing out letters or telling everybody I know. And like now, the market's almost turning in your favor if you're looking for a deal, right? Like, you can be more aggressive. You have to be more aggressive, honestly, because you're not going to flip it successfully otherwise. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a great time to be in real estate. Maybe the best time, like right as things are starting to change.
Yeah, unless you're one of the people caught holding the bag from the last turn,
Yeah,
but
that's why you can't be emotional. You're buying at the peak.
just get rid of it. Yeah, just get rid of it. Yeah. Well, everyone, you never know when the peak is. You never know when the valley is, but
Yeah, but you
hopefully
know when the numbers work.
that's
The
true. I
numbers
like
did
that.
not
Put that
work.
on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know when the numbers work. So, yeah, that's one thing. People are always like, why are you always telling people like your secrets when it comes to like, I don't know if you call them secrets, but why are you always telling people like how to find deals? And you're always like so willing to like let someone know what it is that you do to find whatever your deal you're looking for. And I said, well, it doesn't matter because the ingredient that's missing is that they actually have to do it. And
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm not too worried about
I
it
tell
because
everybody what I do and nobody
yeah,
does.
and then go and do it then. But if you don't do it, then it doesn't work. You have to still do it. So How do you stay motivated? You know, as someone who's like staying consistent, what is it that keeps you motivated, gets you out of bed in the morning?
Right now it's the current project. Beyond the project, that's kind of my dilemma right now. It's like money is like it's a slippery slope because it has like a draw to it that you want to like make more money, but you forget that it's like completely irrational. It can really cloud your judgment. So what gets me motivated right now is finishing this project. The next project, I mean, I don't really know yet. I don't really know yet. I kind of discovered FIRE. Have you ever talked about that before? Financial
Yeah, tell
independence,
me.
retire early.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Have you heard about it? You look kind of bored.
I've heard some of that, but tell me what it is that you're referring to specifically.
Well, I'm not like a huge proponent of it. I've heard about it, and it's financial independence, retire early. Basically just learning to live with less, accepting that you are happy the way you are or with what you have, and that the chase for money is completely irrational. And it's just kind of changed how I think about what I'm doing, because right now, I mean, up till now, I built what I built basically being irrational, just chasing money for the sake of money. At this point, I have more than I probably need for what I need in life. So it's just making me question, do I need to continue doing this? Do I need the stress? Do I need the tenants? Do I need the phone calls at night? Not that that happens, but yeah.
Yeah, sometimes the toilet's overflowing in the second story and the downstairs tenant's like calling you. And I remember we had a basement flood out because I guess the tenants were flushing whatever down the toilet and it flooded out the basement. And you know, sometimes you got to go deal with that, but hopefully it's only
Pretty seldom.
one time. Yeah, it's pretty seldom. Yeah, I was gonna say because that's a challenge a lot of people deal with is chasing the next dollar, you know, chasing the okay, now I got this, but what if I keep going, then I can have that, and then I can have
Yeah.
that, and then I can have that, and
I
all of a
think it's
sudden you're
really just
like 60 and you never enjoyed any of it all the way because you just ended up chasing the bigger thing and the bigger thing, and it never was, it's never enough.
I think that it's a
Or
very acceptable excuse when you tell people that you're working hard, you're busy, I'm making money, I'm whatever. So you can accept it because everyone else is accepting it, but it's really just a deterrent from like nailing down the problem that you have, which is really, what am I doing here? Like,
Some
it's a
another
distraction from yourself.
we're gonna bring people into existential crisis if we keep going
Exactly.
down this thing.
I mean, that's what money does. It freaking gives you the chance to think about these things. That's really the truth of it. You get more time to yourself to really, now your problems are solved, all the problems that you went into it with, you know?
Well, that's the question I was gonna ask. When you I'm trying I'm looking for the discipline train. So like where did you get your discipline from? Where do you think it came from? Or is there a history of that? Or did you just decide one day, hey, I'm going to be disciplined now?
It was two things. It was one, when I was 25, I actually remember feeling disappointed in myself because I set this goal, forgot about it, ignored it, whatever, and then I didn't accomplish it, and it made me feel like crap. The other thing was, I've been doing martial arts like in and out of my whole life, so there's a lot of discipline that's obviously instilled through that, and a lot of those principles I just transferred into my business.
Yeah, that's a big thing because I think discipline is probably one of the biggest components of real estate success because it's not always evident that you will make any sort of money or that it will turn out positively or you know that you will finish the project on time. You know, it could go any other way other than the what you imagine it to be. So how do you stay positive? What are some tips that you can give someone to stay positive when they're looking down the barrel of the real estate gun saying, I wish I had my job back, or maybe it now is not the time to quit my job. So how do you stay positive, going through the ups and downs of real estate?
I mean, where I am right now in my career, I just keep myself very separate from my business. So when I walk through the threshold at night, I'm not thinking about my business anymore. As much as possible. Obviously, you come home with some stress, but I do my best to like shut that down, just to mentally take a break from it all. Because sometimes all you need is a bit of space. You need a bit of perspective to step back and realize that it's not that bad. It gives you a chance to come up with a better solution if there's a problem. So my solution, if you're really feeling stressed and questioning your decision, is to take some time to like create a bit of space between you and the problem so you can get some clarity.
Yeah, that's some good advice. So, as someone who's been working in the business now for the good part of, I guess it would be actively for 5, and what would you say passively for 10?
Yeah, like I
Or
bought my first house at 2012, but like,
yeah, so it's been
yeah, probably
about
10
10
years.
years. What do you see the market doing, let's say, over the next couple of years? What do you project happening? Because you've got some perspective.
I mean, you may think this is crazy, but I don't really care. I don't
Yeah,
really
tell me
care
about
how,
that.
like, the deals that I have right now, like that I'm currently holding, I've already gotten all my money out on the refi. You were telling me about a project you're doing, and that's always the goal, right? You put your money in, you get it out as quick as possible. So my money's already out of that. So that's kind of just like not extra, but it's like when the market suits it, I'll sell. So in a few years, wherever it is, if it's not the place to sell, then it's kind of irrelevant to those projects. As far as my like other things that I'm doing in the more immediate term, I'm buying deals that make sense right now. So if I buy a house and the market in 3 years is going to be different, then it won't affect me because I'm doing a house flip that's going to be 3 months, or I'm doing a land development deal that'll be a year or whatever. Like, it's just, I don't know, you can't predict the future either way. And
I
I
like
feel like it
that.
can be a very easy way to prevent yourself from taking action because, oh no, something bad could happen. But what if it
Yeah,
doesn't?
I shouldn't invest because the sky is falling.
Yeah, and then you get, and then nothing gets done.
What was the line earlier where you're going to put it on a t-shirt? Then I do deals where the numbers work or something you said. I can't recall. I have to watch the recording.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting perspective. So you've kind of done this and done that in real estate, and it seems like you've got a good handle on it. What would you say to someone who's just starting out?
I mean, just do it. I mean, like I said, I have friends now reaching out because they haven't been doing any investing, and then all of a sudden they're realizing they're not going to retire in time or whatever.
Yeah, or
You're
ever.
shaking your head because I'm sure your friends are doing the same thing. I'm like, I've
Well,
been trying to egg my friends on to do this for years, and no one's done anything, and then now they all
yeah,
want to do it.
it took my brother a while. He's always been invested in this and invested in that, and he bought his house, and he's owned that for a while. But it took him a good while to like see the value of rental properties. And it's not that he buys them and renovates them, or he just buys nice rental properties in nice parts of town with decent rates, and he rents them out. It's not like he's doing anything fancy, and if you didn't know him, you wouldn't even know that he's really doing real estate. But
Yeah.
he added it to his investment portfolio, and it allows him to get leverage, and he loves his job, so he keeps working there. But he added it on, he added it in there and diversified his portfolio a little bit by, his Tesla stock and his, back in the day, he used to be a BlackBerry stock or whatever. But
Yeah.
now he's started to pick up some rentals, and I think he's starting to see the real estate tool at work, and I imagine that he's going to continue to do that because I don't know that, my buddy calls houses a high interest savings account because you can't really like quickly get your money out of it. If you're like, oh, I need to, you can go to a credit card and get 5 grand. Let's say you go to get cash advance. It's pretty difficult to go and start cashing out your properties. You still need a buyer. Even a refinance takes some amount of time. It's not like
Yeah.
these things are easily accessible. So he calls it a high interest savings account where things go up. Maybe they go down a little bit, but when you look at it over like 10 or 20 years, You go back 20 years and property in any place, anywhere is probably half of what it is today. So when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, I like what you said. I'm like, where's the market going? You're like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm doing deals that work right now. So great advice. We talked about this before the show, but I got to ask, if people want to connect with you, they want to find you, they want to learn more about you, what should they do? How do they find you?
Like I said before, they can try and find me, but I'm well hidden. I'd rather not share my contact info.
Yeah, that's fine. Fair enough.
Fewer
And
calls, the better. That's the goal.
this guy's
I
got
wish
all the
everybody luck.
one-liners. I'm gonna take this episode and chop it up in ChatGPT and make some t-shirts. So, yeah, well, for the people listening, you may never see Jordan again. He might finally get to the last goalpost, and you'll find him in a jungle somewhere where he finds the purpose of life. And it won't be in rentals, or maybe he just ends up
on
buying more
peyote
rentals.
or something.
Yeah, who knows? But if you're listening and you got this far, I think you got a real gem of an episode. I really appreciate your time, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. Until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.